Welcome to the Great Security Debate. This show has experts taking sides to help broaden understanding of a topic. Therefore, it's safe to say that the views expressed are not necessarily those of the people we work with or for. Heck, they may not even represent our own views as we take a position for the sake of the debate. Our website is greatsecuritydebate.net, and you can contact us via email at feedback@greatsecuritydebate.net or on Twitter @securitydebate. Now, let's join the debate already in progress.
Hiring or firing?
Let's talk about hiring. I think there's been enough firing and going on in the world these last few months. It's a little raw. We can talk about it, but let's start on the start on the supply side and on the and just, you know, Eric, you were telling the story of a friend of yours recently. Why don't you share some of that?
Yeah, we were talking about kind of the interview process, the upfront trying to get the foot in the door, post submitting an application, they're creating some interest, and kind of the divide between some of the roles. And as you start to step into senior leadership, that we've seen some companies there, and granted, this one that I'm referring to in the example without naming names, is on the smaller side, that I don't think they have a whole team to throw behind the hiring process, but they went to a virtual interview process. So whereby I'll send you a link, here's some questions. We want you to record yourself answering these questions, that it becomes very, for a senior leadership role, it becomes very impersonal. And from my perspective, what you really want in a senior leadership role or person is the ability to read people and dynamically have a conversation with them. And it becomes very sterile, very one direction when you start going to this virtual. You really don't get a true read on somebody. It'd be no different than almost like recording a podcast whereby we can change and edit out some of the content. You're not really getting the full picture.
What? We would never edit.
No. do you think some of this is caused, though, by it? And I'm flipping to the other side, whether the company had a low number of human resource staff.
They called them people. human resources are people.
Do you think it's caused more from the fact that on the other side, they're getting candidates who are interviewing for other people, right? Because things, so much is being done virtually, you got people that have one or two jobs already getting a third job, right? And trying to weed out, like, is this the person I'm actually talking with? Now,
I like how you jumped right to scam. You're in the right, you're among good company, but
yeah. Well, I didn't even really think, as you were explaining it, Eric, I thought to myself, I go, what would be a reason they would do that? Right. And if you're doing, instead of just having the first process or second process be another in-person interview, right, having them send a video of themselves and trying to verify go through a few things to verify, right? Do you think there's any of that that could play into it? Because in the last few weeks or last month and a half, I've actually heard some crazy stories of people. And one of them came from another security company I was talking with who literally hired somebody I know worked at the company. And they went to a security expo, one of the events, right? And there was 15 sponsors there. One of them was the previous company this guy worked for. And he walked up to the booth because he knew the GM that was there was talking with him. And he's like, hey, I'm surprised you guys let, we'll just make up a name, surprised you guys let Eric go. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, Eric Willie, right? Or fake name just because Eric's on the show. And the guy goes, we didn't let him go. He's still working with us. And he's like, no, he's not. I just hired him. Right. And like, you could just imagine like the wheels turning in both their heads.
Right. Right. So to make sure I'm on the same page, are you talking about somebody interviewing for somebody else? Or are you talking about moonlighting, which is becoming an increasingly bigger issue?
Either one, moonlighting or interviewing for somebody else. Right. So like, You've had this first convo, right? Or maybe email, you've gone through some resumes and now you're going to send him something and say, but if this was his third point in the process, like we said earlier, I don't know that it does any good if you can't look the person in the eyes when you're asking a question to see that first mannerism that someone gives out tells you right away how they feel about the question.
But Brian, if you walked into the room pretending to be Eric Willey into a physical room and I still didn't know who you were, being in the room doesn't change a damn thing about than having it recorded. I mean, I think let's talk about all the things that go into those kind of all the reasons people are using those kinds of those kinds of vetting techniques. But I don't know that bringing the fake Eric Willey in a room gets me any more or less, especially if the fake Eric Willey is a really good liar, which apparently
no, I have a checkbox on Twitter, so I'm real.
You're an egg. So that one, I don't know. It's not beyond some of these companies to then take it to facial recognition and tie it out to publicly scrape things and say, this isn't really the Eric Willey you're looking for. But I don't know that needs recording to do, but it's a really interesting scenario. And it, by the way, it happens way more often than you'd want to think.
And I would have never thought that when I started hearing that. I was like, are you kidding?
From the people, you know, I guess it's the inverse of the fake jobs posts that people get. Oh, we want to hire you for $300,000. We're going to send you a check for $20,000 to go buy stuff, and then you'll reimburse us. And you know, there's this whole scam that goes along with it. So I guess this is the karma opposite of that, fake candidates. But there's a couple of things here. From the positive side, the reasons it's used are for jobs with lots of applicants to do initial filtering.
Right. I would agree with that.
There is built in, right or wrong, and remind me to, let's talk about Zooms in a couple of minutes. There is built into much of it some kind of analysis where they're listening to voice analysis. Are you telling the truth? Are you emotional about this? Are you positive about this? How are you feeling? You know, these kinds of things exist in lots of recording technologies, especially sales technologies. Like I said, let's get back to the Zoom in a second because I'm going to go on a rail for that. So stay tuned.
Oh, wait, there's more.
They're using it to look for keywords. Think of it like a video version of an applicant tracking system. So they can filter out if you're not saying the right things or if you're not using the right mannerisms. Now, okay, fine. That whittles them down. And in theory, you then get in-person interviews or you have a human discussion with the next. Now, I have heard of the fact that...
Before you go too far... Eric, what was the position he's interviewing for, though? Because I think that's important to know, because you brought up a great point there, Dan. The whole lying aspect, there could be someone, a vendor out there looking to hire somebody like, oh, this guy's a really good liar. He can sell our four-year roadmap in 30 days.
Senior director role.
Yeah. So not
senior director, but practitioner, senior director security.
No, not in security at all.
Okay.
Different. Yeah.
Right.
Keep going, Dan. Sorry, I just want to make sure everyone.
But I mean,
knew what
it's a high level role. It is not. Yeah. But it doesn't mean, especially over the last few months, it doesn't mean that they aren't getting thousands of applicants for jobs. And in talking with HR colleagues, there are scads of people who don't even begin to be qualified. Now, let me make a quick disclaimer. There is, you know, we talk a lot on here and talk a lot on MentorCore and other things about you don't have to be 100% match to file for a job, to post for a job. This is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about people who have no connection to the role. I don't know why they're posting to it. I don't know what the intentions are, but it's so far afield that
It's a shotgun approach.
Yeah, it's like, why do people, you know, now, you know, I'll bring some higher ed into this. Now that you have the common
I'm going to challenge you on that.
Application form, you can click tick, 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 and apply to, for undergrad, apply to tons of colleges with one click and no effort. And it may not even be schools you actually want to go to, or jobs, in this case, jobs you want to go to. LinkedIn, click, 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 link, Indeed, click, click, click. It's made it very, very easy, too easy. And it means there's a huge overload in the number of candidates.
But if we're going to use the idea of it's a volume play, right? We have a volume of applicants. This is a way to whittle it down. Doing virtual interview and answers to questions doesn't achieve that because I still have to go through and watch each of those questions.
Oh, Eric.
Now, granted, Eric, I can watch Eric, one. Eric. Reason.
You're so cute when you're naive. No. do you think people ask them? No.
You're talking about it's purely based on for the analytics.
It's purely based on analytics, and they'll whittle down a list. But these are also the same types of HR professionals, and this is not all HR professionals. It's not all hiring managers. But there are those that say, I'm going to let the ATS or the automated video whatever do this for me, and I'm only going to take the whittled down list. Now, I am not perfect.
Let's go back.
But for the last 25 years, I've said, don't you dare filter out a single person. Send them to me. I will go through them. Because I don't trust it, you know, and friend of the show, Jess Byrne, actually just forwarded me a podcast she did with Chase Cunningham last week in support of some research that she did on certificates versus hiring. And in there, a CISO that can remain unnamed quoted that that at one point in his career, he was testing ATSs. And he got immediately filtered out of his own job that he had at that moment. They were testing new ATSs. And it's, I think that right there forevermore solidified that I can't trust an ATS to do any of this. And I can't trust the video sentiment analysis or those things to do the same thing either. I connect with humans. I don't connect with the results of automated filters. This is also,
right.
You know, see also the craptastic search results I get.
This kind of goes back to, I hearken this back to the old web days. And as we're doing all of the packing of keywords, trying to improve our search results and all of that.
SEO for hiring.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get the buzzword packing comes in. I know a lot of individuals that love to throw out different security buzzwords, but as they throw them out, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Just because they can throw it out there and just because all of a sudden the analytics are going to register, hey, they said these things, doesn't mean they actually have a clue what they're talking about.
And Eric, you have convinced me. I am going to make the bingo game, buzzword bingo, but actually make the boards, because for a first event for like a distilling security, to play a fun game that everybody would say, this is awesome, buzzword bingo. And for the record, you brought something up there, Dan. When I first moved from automotive into what everybody was telling me was tech, even though I believed automotive was extremely tech, AWS, when I clicked submit, you know, and it had me fill out this thing, when I first applied to AWS, I was rejected in less than 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Submit and boom, it came right back. And the person who told me to go in and fill that out was someone in a senior director role at AWS who was helping build the automotive team. He's like, and I went right back to him and said, hey, this is what happened. He's like, oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. As long as you've already done it, I have your resume. The right people have it. And I was thinking to myself, and you guys know this story, but I'll keep it sanitized for the podcast. I was so upset. If you're at AWS and you're listening to this, yeah, there's a reason why, Brian, no play nice, right? Like the fact that you filtered me out because I didn't have the buzzword bingo filled out in my resume, ridiculous. And you're building something for the automotive market in my town, ridiculous. It tells me that you didn't pull in the right people, right? That who are you looking for? Someone that worked in the ADAS systems for 5 years? And to your point, Eric, filling out that little thing, the next thing was probably going to be a video. But you think they were going to get this? They were going to get the filtered down answers, right?
But if they had gotten the video, this passion would have been sentimented as videos, you know, extremely passionate, must hire.
Either that or extremely crazy, watch with caution, holds coney dog in left hand. And also for the record, for everyone listening too, because we haven't done this podcast since the University of Michigan versus Michigan State game. And we predicted some outcomes. The Spartans lost. The Wolverines won. They are moving on to play in the playoffs for the chance for a national championship.
Hey, Brian, I can't guarantee this will be edited before the next one. So be careful what you predict before the actual games. So be careful what you predict.
Oh, no, no predictions there. What I was going to say was, if somebody interviewed you live and wanted to know, did I get the real Eric Willie? And you throw out one like, so how are you liking things at U of M right now? And you got the Michigan State guy there. I went, right? Like little ways when you're actually interviewing a person, right? That a little emotional side comes out when you ask questions.
Right.
And that's what you're looking for. How do they respond? Senior director role, Eric, this person's going to be in management. He's going to have direct reports. How does he respond to certain questions that he may think are, for lack of a better word, not great questions, right? That I think this is a bad or dumb question, but there are no such things. And when you're a leader, it's how do you take those questions and still find a way to respond back and help bring the people underneath you up, right?
Totally agree. I mean, if I look at, going down that line, thinking about hiring somebody in a technical role, one of my favorite answers, depending, I mean, you can't use it all the time, is I don't know. Let me get back to you. Because that shows personality. That's humility. I will take that any day over somebody that just tries to make something up off the fly. And you know, they don't have a clue what they're talking about.
For a sales role, like for a sales guy to be able to say, I don't know the answer. Let me get back to you is so strong.
Right.
And lesson learned. And this goes back to my automotive days. Our president at the time, Dom Witzit, great guy. When I was at Aishin, I was in a room at a very, very large OE presenting up in front of everybody. And it was a 4 hour, 3.5 hour where they walked through each one of the teams at our company. And I was up presenting on seating and I was asked a question. And I thought that I should try at least to answer the question, that if I didn't, it would look bad. And when I was done and walked off the stage, like you could tell, I didn't know what the answer was, but I was alluding to things. Dom waited till the very, very end. He pulled me aside and he was like, "Hey, Brian, just as a heads up," he goes, "next time, if you're not sure what the answer is," he goes, "always remember there's 15 other engineers in that room that you could point to any one of them and be like, that's a great question. You know, we can get with Eric after this and get you an answer. We can get back to you on that." Right. He goes, compliment him that he asked a great question and be humble enough to tell him that you don't know the answer, because we're not going to know all the answers.
So thinking about all of this, then does this make it even more important? I know we keep hitting on this show after show. We talk about the power of networking and connecting with people. I would think that this makes that even more important, that if you talk about AWS and being screened out, that you can backdoor a lot of these systems that maybe you don't play well to the automated, the analytics and stuff that are going on. But if all of a sudden you have a person-to-person relationship that can say, hey, I'm going to vouch for so-and-so, that still gives way more credence in these systems.
Yes, it depends on how you use it.
Buzzword bingo.
Yeah, you have exactly. Well, we decided it depends would be the center square, because then everybody gets it, because it's almost a given that it'll come up. I'm of two minds. I'm going to debate myself on this. There is the network, knowing people is extremely important. However, relying on your own network to fill your staff to hire from leads to a more homogeneous and not just undiverse, but because you don't get the breadth of character, of characteristic, of experience if you keep relying on the exact same people that are in your network, because people who are in networks are often more like you. And I think there's an important balance that has to happen. Going back to our episode of, you know, should you hire out your own staff? You know, should you bring in your own staff or should you post? You're also doing a disservice to those that want to get into the field, but don't have those connections yet and may post for it blindly, but never get seen because maybe they're introverts. Maybe they're not making those connections yet. Maybe they don't know how or where to start. And yes, there are resources, but you can't depend solely on that as a hiring manager. So I think it depends. Yes, having a network will help you. Relying solely on that network, I think is, for hiring managers, I think relying solely on that network is hurting the candidate pool and hurting the diversity, both people diversity, but also diversity of thought in your organization if you do it continuously.
I mean, it just goes back to the adage of too much of anything is not necessarily a good thing.
Except
right?
Trader Joe's JoJo cookies, the candy cane edition, those you can have tons of.
Interesting. I'm going to have to check those out. And Eric, on the it depends part and not going to the buzzword bingo, there could be one square that's depends, right? It's actual underwear.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we get old and thrall, we just go back to the adult underwear.
And then there's it depends. But Dan, I also think it depends on the person, right, who's vouching for someone, right?
Yes.
And I find that there's leaders.
But, yeah.
Or says, you know, like, I recommend this candidate. I recommend this candidate. Being on this side of the fence, for those listening, Brian Schneeble, I actually work for a vendor.
We'll get to that in a couple of minutes.
Fingernails on chalk. But what I've seen too is a lot of times leadership will bring in people they know, people they've worked with. The problem with that is if that leader is not someone, when you're sitting in a room, that talks with everybody, not just the people that he finds that he gets along with well because they have similarities, but everybody in the room that he's able to pick out, you know, and create relationships with everyone, that everyone he's going to bring in is him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is true.
There's no differentiation. And Eric, I'd love to get your thoughts afterwards too on Dustin, who I had come to the event on Thursday, which was a cybersecurity event that was doing a Choi drive. This was an individual that was introduced to me via an email from somebody that I work closely with at MCWT. She said, "Hey, I'd love for you to meet, you know, my nephew, right? Great guy. But he's looking to get into cybersecurity. And I figured if anyone could give him some advice, you could, right?" So all of our communication was via email. And one day he was like, "Hey, Brian, you care if we jump on a Zoom? I'd love to talk to you and pick your brain about a few things." So I said, yes. So I did. I'm like, he's pretty personable. And I gave him my, you know, my 2 cents, but I hadn't really given his resume to anybody because I didn't really know him. And if you're given a resume, it's like you're kind of vouching for him. I gave him some recommendations, but I said, come to this event. It will be a great network. You can poke around. But part of that was I wanted to see who he was too as a person, see how he interacts in a live setting. Not only did he show up early, help try to set up, I barely even talked to him the entire night because he was walking around talking to everybody. And I, at the end of the night, he came over to say goodbye. I think that's when I was like, "Hey, meet Eric." And he was like, "Hey, nice to meet you guys." I'm like, this is great. Like he's a great personable person. He's interested. He's grinding to learn. I love that, right? And it gave me an opportunity, that face-to-face, to be able to say, not just because someone said, this is someone I know or a family member, can you do this for me? I got the opportunity to actually see that person, right? And get to know him.
There's two things. I want to zoom in on. One,
Because we're on Zoom?
What's that?
Is that because we're on Zoom? No. You want to zoom in?
No, we're on YouTube and we're on your favorite podcast application. Please click the like button if you like this. It helps the show a lot. Two things I want to hone in on. One, I don't think it's a bad thing passing on a CV of someone you know, as long as you put the caveats around and say, look, this is somebody I got initial, you know, I've met with them for 20 minutes. I don't know them. I can't necessarily vouch for them, but I at least want to get it under your nose. I do that. I'm happy to do that. I love doing that. Because again, I think ATS systems are crap. And I want to do all I can to get people's faces under noses, in spite of bad hiring managers and bad HR practices. Then the other thing was lost to my aging at brain.
Were you going to compare it to?
No, I remember what it was. No, it was what you described from that interaction was fine, but I think it still excludes a huge population, especially in security, of introverts that don't want to be social, that don't want to come out to a thing, that aren't going to interact with people. And I think we need to, those are the people who, when they talk, the rare occasions that they open their mouth and say things, they are brilliant things. And putting people into environments like that isn't always good for them. So I think using that as the sole measure, too many people, and I'm not saying you, too many people put that in as the only way. Are they outgoing? Do they talk well with people? Do they walk up and go, "Hi, I'm Dan. Right. Nice to meet you." Yes, I do that, but not everybody does. And some of the best players, and I'm going to go back to a book. Susan is called Quiet. Let me get the title here. Susan Cain, this book, and I've quoted this book many times, because what, I guess it's 15 years ago now, someone who worked on my team, who I respect immensely, raised this idea to me. Dan, you're an extrovert. Not
Quiet,
everyone
the powers
is.
Of introverts in a world. I just pulled it up.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you, Dan. I mean, this is why I continue to take shots at companies that look at, as all of us are coming up to the end of the year, we're doing reviews with our organization, with our employees and stuff like that. And there's still a lot of organizations out there that look at employees that I can only give you exceeds if you are, or a high potential, if you're willing to lead people. Well, that's not the only aspect out there. There are some phenomenal technologists, engineers, all of these different point players in there that you definitely want to continue to promote, but just because they don't want to lead people doesn't mean we should hold them back. The organizations need those people.
Well, create the director level roles that don't include people management.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to just manage people in order to do great things at an organization.
And I'm right there with you on the not everybody has to be social, connect, and all that. I was talking with an individual, and I apologize, I forget the company, but it was at the Grand Prix. And their whole premise, what they were doing, they were the biggest placement of autistic individuals into security. That they started to realize that those that had different levels of autism are actually phenomenal in security because of their willingness to just go heads down and just deep dive into something. Not necessarily going to be some of the most social people out there, but if you look at what they're doing, they are executing to a high level.
Well, and I think that takes it to one level. And let's get the name of the company. We'll put it in the show notes. Because I love organizations that help with that. But I think there's a middle ground too. It, you know, you don't have to be autistic to be introverted. Even if it's just people that don't want to speak up in a meeting, there's a meeting of 20 people like me in the room. And there's one person in there who has something to say, but doesn't have the energy. The energy's been sapped out of them by the 20 Daniels. And they don't have a mechanism to speak up and say, I have something here to contribute, giving them a way to do so. And I think giving them a way to do so in the hiring process is equally as important. Not everybody's comfortable in front of a camera. Not everybody's comfortable with a recording. Not everybody's comfortable as soon as you say, you have one take to do this. And all of those things add huge nerves. And I don't think you see the real person. Analytics or not, what you're going to see from many people is the analytics will say scared shitless. That's what it's going to say. The little thing next to your eye, by the way, saw an output from the in-car camera on a Tesla. It's doing continuous analysis, eye looking left, looking right, not paying attention, paying attention, all of those kind of things. All that's in the same kind of technology. I'm going to take a quick aside and talk about salespeople. Yes, that's right, Brian.
Ground team.
What's that?
Ground team.
Ground team. Yes.
Hey, don't go telling everybody that yet, Eric. We don't have a trademark yet.
I'll edit that out. So there's been this trend lately. There's been this trend lately of getting into, well, first of all, getting meeting invites through third party links. Gong is one of them. There's a few others that do this recording crap. They record, they do sentiment analysis, and you can opt out. No, I opt out permanently. Don't send me a Gong link. Or if it's the rare chance you're going to get a meeting, you're not getting the meeting. Two, there's been this new trend as well to add in a new attendee in Zoom that doesn't abide by the recording flag it just looks like another user. Zoom has some really neat tools built in that you have to agree to recording or leave. Well, they add another user. It's like the scribes is what they're called, is they seem to be referred to as, and there's a number of products. I'll put some in the show notes. And they show up as attendees. And these, again, tend to be in sales calls. Well, it turns out when you look behind them, they're doing that exact same kind of recording and sentiment analysis. Oh, for the, you know, for the betterment of the salesperson. Well, BS, I'm not your test pig. Do not use those with me. If they show up, I'm gone. And, you know, this same kind of sentiment analysis, the same kind of human analysis, all treats, it makes the assumption that the person on the other end isn't a person. They're just there to be calculated. And I think this goes, and I bring this up because I think it's an extension of the people getting comfortable with this idea. And I think it's crap. And I think it needs to stop in HR and in any meeting you set with me. Gone. End of soapbox for now. I don't know. Have you guys seen those technologies showing up?
Eric, have you? And I'm going to say
not directly. No, it's more anecdotal hearing from people.
Yeah, and what went, Dan, while you were talking, I was listening, but I was also looking up because you wanted to throw into the show notes there. So yes, I have. And I kept trying to remember what the name of the Richmond Center was. And the gentleman you were talking with, Eric, was David Franco from the Exceptional Academy.
Yes.
And as soon as you started saying it before, I remember the person because I talked to him as well. And some of the people that he's placed into positions, Dan, are candidates that companies would never hire, right? Because before they even got in the door, most of these people would never, like, to do a video and send it in. Most of these people aren't going to do a video and send it in.
Right.
And they don't believe in themselves to have the skills. He helps them find that they can believe in themselves and that working with them, that there are people that can do certain repetitive jobs over and over again very well and take so much pride in it that they're going to be your best worker at that job. And he was looking at some of the security jobs, things that can be done virtually where they can do it from their house, right? Where they don't have to be there in person. And I'm not speaking for everyone that has autism, but for what David explained to me is that there's certain attributes of certain autistic children or adults where they're uncomfortable in front of a lot of people, right? This gives them the opportunity to work from home and accomplish things, right? Or even work in smaller groups. And the number of young adults and older adults that he's placed that normally would never get an opportunity. And this goes to the other side of the fence. And because people have gotten to know David Franco in the community and trust him because he's put people in there and he gives his life's work to do that job, right? He is like the HR of the Exceptional Academy is literally what it's called. And you don't have enough people doing that. And I don't want this podcast to come off as a slam against HR because it's not. Just like anyone else, if you've never walked a day in my shoes, then you don't know what it feels like to wear my size 11s, right? And you got a size 6 foot, right? And the same is true if you got a bigger foot and it just doesn't fit into that shoe. You just don't know what that job entails until you're in doing it. Right. And when you're trying to go through thousands of candidates, not just for your position, right? But for all different positions throughout the company. But there has to be a better way, a better metric than trying to use, I'm going to do for people watching, not just listening, quotes around AI machines, right? That find a way to go through your data. Cause it's really not AI. It's looking for this, if that, then that, if this, then like it's a program, right? And you're qualifying out people that could potentially be really, really good.
And it becomes interesting because I know we've talked about in previous shows, the power of diversity within the team, the different mind thoughts, and how powerful and how much better the greater the diversity, the greater the outcomes of the team or the higher propensity to turn out exceptional work, right? Because it's the amalgamation. You don't get into that traditionally into that group think, everybody coming from the same perspective. And I almost wonder, Dan, if we make the same argument about some of the AI or some of these tools that are being used for hiring, if that actually becomes no different than pulling just from your network that you talk about having a homogenous group there, that if AI is always looking for the exact same type of candidates, if you're going to see the same thing on the other end, that it's actually the antithesis of diversity.
Oh, it absolutely is, because guess what? Any repeatable process that builds historical in will build in the same biases. And right. It's not AI, it's ML, and ML is just repetition.
Ooh, I got that buzzword.
Yeah.
Big data, XDR.
Data lakes.
Yeah. Data lake, data lake.
Single pane of glass.
Security Operations Center of the future.
Yeah. is pivot also buzzword?
Not anymore. That's very 2020. That's very early COVID.
You see, and for those listening, this is where it's good for me to sit out on this podcast, because I just learned that I shouldn't use the word pivot in any interview I do in the future, because that was so 2020. I too need to get up to date.
Yeah, but I'm not I'm not your hiring manager. Ask my son. I'm very out of touch.
change gears here or pivot. But there's also, from a timing standpoint, when I say timing right now, there's been several high profile layoffs, right? You saw, I think Amazon's laying off 20,000 people. And there's a whole story that goes into Alexa and that whole department and trying to make it profitable, in that these assistants, right? And this is where I'm trying to merge two different conversations together. So you have this personal assistant that they believe you would use to buy things. And it just really hasn't happened. The majority of people that have an Amazon Alexa, from the analytics they pulled, ask that Amazon Alexa not to buy things, but what's the weather today, and play me a song. That's literally what I use it for, right? And also to figure out if it knows exactly what I want to buy.
And play me a song about the weather.
Yeah. Like yesterday I was making macaroni and cheese for the kids, and they were, let's just say, being a little disorderly. So I said, Alexa, can you play a song about macaroni and cheese? And it said, thank you, I have a song about macaroni and cheese. And it began playing. And instantly all the kids just got quiet and listened intently for 3.5 minutes while I tried finishing up to a song about macaroni and cheese. It was beautiful, right?
Can you sing us a verse from it?
I can't.
Was it worth $10 billion though? Because that's what they spent. Now, if only they had hired you and not filtered you out early A's, they wouldn't have met this mess. You would have prevented it from.
Well, thank you, Dan. And for those listening, contact me, Brian Schneebly, at LinkedIn. I'll be happy to send. No, totally kidding. Give you advice on how to market your Amazon Alexa or any type of AI ML technology you're using in the future, trying to get a profit from. But that's the point. You're trying to build a profit out of this product, right? And it didn't work out the way they saw it happening. And now you have all these really talented engineers that help develop something. And those people, along with some of their marketing and so forth, are being let go. I also worry about the number of people within an HR part of the organization, just like Eric and Dan, your security organizations. It's becoming harder and harder right now because of budgets to say, I got 10 positions to backfill. Maybe now you're only going to have 5 for next year, right? So now you're even going to have a limited number of people you can hire out of the same talent pool. So for people listening, understand that now the number of positions open is going to decrease for certain job roles and applications, probably for the next year or two, right? So how can you better position yourself? And is it being able to answer things, knowing that there's ML, AI on the other end that's going through your answers and clicking on the buzzword bingos? Or is it doing that networking piece? And Dan, I had introduced you to Richard, going back to that one conversation. I didn't know Richard that well, but I thought if anybody could talk to him and give him direction on what he was looking to do, specifically around program management and around privacy, I'm like, Dan knows privacy extremely well. He's also built up programs for multiple companies. He could point this person in the right direction better than I could. So what I'm asking everybody who's listening is, if you have friends that are looking for a job, it's not about plugging them in and just passing their resume over. It's about connecting them with people that can give them better advice than you can. If you're really trying to get that person a job and you know that your advice is maybe quality this much for what they're trying to do, have them talk to someone that can really feed through or pull out what they should do, right? Networking isn't just about talking to the person next to you and seeing if he'll take your resume.
Right.
Networking is just talking in general. And the more genuine you are at it, the more opportunities you're going to find yourself in. And those are things that ML and AI really can't put together analysis, analytics on how well did you network for the past 2 weeks, right? How many conversations did you have that you were able to refrain from buzzword bingo and just be yourself?
And if you're listening to this and you have a company that does exactly what Brian claims there isn't a technology to do, let us know. We'd love to comment about how much we love it or not. But I am curious if there's people that, if there are tech that do that, and I suspect there's something out there that does, because there's,
we may get more listeners from that space in tech telling us we're wrong. And I'd love to take your interview.
Done.
Not for a job, to see if your machine learning works.
Done. Yeah, but I mean that kind of cross introduction is more and more important, because back to the way, we can talk all we want to about wouldn't it be nice and how things should work, but the reality is jobs do get had by people knowing people, or people introducing people, or making sure that something gets under somebody's nose and out of a faulty application tracking system.
I think another benefit for doing that for those that are listening as well is that it also gets you to the root of what the position is actually doing. And I know we hit on this early on as we were starting the podcast, and some of the job specs that are written, put out there for security practitioners are just garbage, because they're packed with buzzwords as well. It does not accurately reflect what the job's going to be. And by backdooring it to somebody, typically you would get a better understanding of what life over there is going to really be like.
And 3 years into the podcast, 15 years of Kubernetes is still not possible. The one question I have for you guys is, I guess thoughts on now in a harsher economy, as people are being let go, and do we know that we still have roles we need to fill? Are you going to see people filling them? And let's take it depends out of the answer pool. Are you going to see them filling them with newer people to the field, those without experience that can be had at lower cost to the organization? You can get maybe more, but require more work to get them ready. Or are you going to see people getting fewer of the now displaced, rather expensive, experienced people?
So from my perspective, and I have to say it depends on the hiring team, right? And the capacity that you have to grow somebody. That, you know, I think we've all been in different positions that if you look at a low capacity team, that you might need the senior person that can just hit the ground running, that you just, while you might want to, you just don't have the time to pour into somebody. But I do think, you know, from my perspective and where I'm at right now, that I'm in the camp of taking somebody that's got tangential skill sets, that has an appetite to grow, and moving them into that role and growing them. Because there are areas in security that, specifically just looking about in automotive, that you talk about security kind of being a niche. And then, you know, we were talking about this actually at the event that Brian mentioned, that automotive security on the product side is a niche within a niche, right? So finding those people is extremely hard, and you're cannibalizing between each other, just kind of raising the bar. Well, I'll pay you more. And it just, everybody, I guess not everybody loses in that, the practitioner wins, but.
Is a niche inside a niche really just a quiche?
Well played.
But a quiche is kind of niche when you look at the type of dish that it
unless
is.
Unless her name is Lorraine.
We can debate. No, keep going, Eric.
Well played. No, but I think we've learned this historically. So we'll look at Google, right? Google at one point, I think it was Google that somebody was telling me about, that tried to take security practitioners and make them into developers, so that you've got kind of the security understanding of development, and realize that it was really hard. The timeline to do that was really protracted and a lot of people couldn't make the leap. Now, the reverse of that, that if you took a developer, that you could teach them security skills, and it was because of that tangential knowledge there already, that they did very, very well. So I see a lot of that specifically in the automotive space, that taking some of those product engineers, taking software developers, and then starting to train them up in security has a lot of potential.
I'm willing
to make that space.
I couldn't agree more on that.
Everybody is looking for people in those roles right now. Yeah. Within automotive.
Well, within not just automotive, everywhere. Not that, you know, don't exclude the rest of us. We want part of that too.
But I think you're seeing that more in embedded systems, right? People that understand manufacturing. And right now, auto sits in one of those areas where, from an embedded system standpoint, security is now, just like production control quality, now their biggest concern moving forward. How are we securing all the applications and data that we're going to be bringing in? Mm-hmm. And I think you're seeing the same thing in other manufacturing realms that are getting more embedded systems, where their developers and programmers responsible for those systems are now being asked those questions, but that's not their forte on the security side. So it's, what group do you have within your group? And that's why a niche, I almost said quiche because I'm reading your note there, a quiche within so one of those niche roles that is unique. And if you can take some of those programmers, right, that have worked on embedded systems and say, okay, you understand our entire vehicle architecture, our entire this vertical, now you can apply what you already know to securing it or making it more secure. But I agree wholeheartedly though on the power of networking, especially when done correctly. So HR, just because somebody gives a resume, the next question back is, how well do you know this person? And don't just make it a text, just call the person giving the resume, because if he really believes in the person, he just submitted it on behalf of that person, he can give you the background. I don't know him really well, but here's what I do know. The three people that I'm really close with have worked with him, and they have nothing but great things to say, but I have not worked with him, right? And then they're like, okay, so I completely understand. Then if you have worked with him, they're probably going to ask you a few questions, right? Like, what did you like about working with him? You know, they're going to ask the things that they would like to try to ask in the interview, but those are the roundabout where you're trying to figure out who they are. And now you have a great person to be able to answer those questions.
Right.
You probably, in just by picking up the phone, narrow down your pool candidacy from maybe 1,000 candidates down to like your top 10, right? And this person's in it. So that little bit of added effort.
Or you're at least going to get a call and conversation rather than an auto filter. And even just that, then you can prove yourself. Not have to rely on somebody who may not know you, but at least get the call.
Yeah. And if you know someone that knows how to make a really good quiche, rather than just pulling up three recipes and comparing one to the other, and you know mom or grandma makes a great one, you're probably going to call grandma and be like, quick question. I got this recipe here. What is it that you're really doing here? Or why do I have to bring my eggs to room temperature? And she'll probably give you a better answer than what your recipe is going to give you. Why? Because she's familiar with the niche of a quiche.
Brian, is that an allegory for buying security products?
No, but who buys a security product, though, by going through a checklist? Like, well, here's where the five that we sent a checklist to. This one did really good.
You mean everyone that sends out an RFP ever?
Right. Rather than saying, like, let's test it, right? Yeah. Let's ask this guy a few questions. If you only went by roadmap, you probably buy everything that was put in front of you. Like, oh my God, they're going to do everything we need them to do in the next year. You know, 5 years later.
Yeah.
And that was me twiddling my thumbs, guys.
Watch the video. You can see, Brian's twiddling of the thumbs. Cool. Any closing thoughts?
Eric, I'll let you go. My closing thoughts are, you know, listen to what Eric has to say. Take everything Brian says with a grain of salt. Unless it's cooking related, then it literally comes with a gram of salt.
Yeah, no, mine's the same old. I mean, network, put yourself out there, take chances. I think just in recent couple of events that I've seen a couple of individuals that are on the more junior side that continue to put themselves out there. That are networking with people and just having conversations. And I think that's, there's great opportunities there. Certainly, you know, as we kind of discussed here, that is not the only place we should be pulling from, from a talent pool perspective. But certainly, I think for those that are willing to start building up their network, that, and look, you know, for junior individuals, and I know speaking for myself that I am an introvert, that first step into networking was extremely difficult. And that came from some leadership classes that was one of their pushes, that you've got to connect with people, that just taking that first step. And then once you do, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. The dominoes continue to fall, and it's amazing what I found over time, that the world continues to shrink as you realize the interconnectedness of everybody. Specifically, if we just look at the Detroit market within security, everybody knows everybody. And if, I mean, for your first step for networking, maybe it's not an event, maybe it's reach out to us.
Please do.
Send something.
Please do.
That's what we're here for.
Although I do want to put a little asterisk on the screen next to you, Eric, you know, like in the weight loss ads, results, not typical. You know, not every introvert that that starts on this road is going to end up an Eric Willey style extrovert tap dancing on stage and singing Putting on the Ritz. You know, it's not that isn't necessarily the end game, nor is it the intent of it. But you know, there are ways to do that kind of networking that don't require you to put yourself all the way out there in a way that's uncomfortable to you. Eric's mileage.
I'll add to it, you know, kind of early on, one of the things that we were saying about being willing to say, I don't know, be authentic.
Yeah.
Be authentic in everything that you do. And that should hopefully help lead to good things. Because the majority of people can smell through the BS. So be you.
And on the flip side, on the person receiving that call, be vulnerable. Open yourself up to the person asking the question. Know what? I went through the same thing too. Don't try and say, I understand exactly what you feel, but be relatable. Share the experiences you've had and the way that you failed. People think, you know, there's this Instagram image of every people out there that it's all success. LinkedIn has turned into this ridiculous happy fest of, I did great things. I got out of bed today. Congratulate me. But there's way more fail that happens. And that's where we learn stuff. And those are the things that we, as the recipients of those calls, of those emails, that's what it's our responsibility to share. Not a doom and gloom story, but a perspective that says, you know what? I had to come through similar things. It's not the same, I know. And here are the kind of things I thought about, or here are the things, asking you questions to get you thinking about how to get through some of those tough times. Because I promise you, this person, that person, and that person have been through, the three of us, by the way, for those of you not on video, not watching on YouTube, youtube.com/@GreatSecurityDebate. We've been through them. We've been through failures. I am who I am because of the catastrophic failures that I experienced, not because of the successes.
That's the greatest point for all the listeners on. If you're out there networking and you're talking to somebody in a leadership position, ask them their journey of how they got there. Because if that leader is being genuine and open, they're going to tell you about their failures. And if you're a leader out there and somebody comes to you to ask about your journey, don't give them all the, well, I did this. Talk to them about the failures, because that person right there could be the one thinking that I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for that.
Right.
Because they've had failures.
Yep.
For someone to understand that sometimes to overcome a mountain, you got to climb a bigger mountain. Right. And that's literally what it takes. And for them to understand that that's what happens and that there's pitfalls, you could be the person that helps them get over that. So be genuine. Ask about journeys. And if you're given stories about your journeys, make sure to include the failures, right? Or not always failures, but the hardships
along the way. Right. And
there's actually, and throwing in doing the typical, I'm going to throw a book in there. The Obstacle is the Way is actually a great book along that same line of thinking.
I will add it to the show notes. And now, since we've preached to the candidate, we've preached to the mentoring recipient, I'm going to preach to the hiring manager for a second. Don't be lazy. I have yet to meet an HR organization that if I called or said, hey, I'd like to get all the candidates. ATS has failed me. I want to see all the candidates. There's no rule that I've yet come across that says we can't send you all the candidates. That's a strong relationship to start to build with your talent acquisition team, with your HR business partner. Build that and help them understand the things you're looking for, because the automated stuff, it doesn't work. It maybe security alone, maybe other fields it works. I will tell you, it doesn't work. I have found my best candidates, people I didn't even know, because I looked through those and I circled and this is interesting. Let's talk more about this. The ATS had already kicked them out. Go take the time. You're going to build a better team by taking that time. And unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. We love your thoughts, your feedback, your ideas, your emails. You can reach us at feedback@greatsecuritydebate.net. Send us an email. Or you can find all of our episodes, including contact links and social media links, on our website, www.greatsecuritydebate.net. You can find all of our past episodes in your favorite podcast application if you like the audio. Just search for Great Security Debate. Or on YouTube at our newly minted and aforementioned URL, youtube.com/@ Great Security Debate. Go there. We're also on Twitter at Security Debate. All those different methods. Please engage with us. Tell us the things you want to hear, future topics, things you like, things you didn't like. Because as we said, failures, mountains, feedback, that's how we get better. So let us know what you think. We'll see you again soon on the next Great Security Debate.